Hallelujah. This is right. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. On Thursday, I was driving to work, and I was just praying, meditating, and kind of just talking to the Lord. Unfortunately, sometimes I think that I talk too much and don't listen enough, you know. I have one of those minds that doesn't like to shut off at times, and, oh, maybe I should say never. I was just praying and meditating and thinking on God's word, and I was primarily probably thinking a lot about, the video we watched the night before from the Sunday school lesson with Brother Bud, and, you know, many things were said, and as I was thinking about that, as a parent, as a pastor, as a, you know, member in the body of Christ, one of the things that, it puts a burden on you, so to speak, of knowing that we have a responsibility. And there were so many things that I was thinking about, you know, listening to that again. And you know, it's funny, I always say this. I listen to most of the videos that I like to play here two or three times before we ever get here. But it seems without a doubt that when we listen to it here, I hear something that I didn't necessarily hear at work. And I like to hear things when it is the proverbial onion effect, isn't it? It really is. You know, layer upon layer, here a little, there a little, and line upon line. And so one of the things that caught my attention is that when was said that how many of us, you know, even question the word. We just hear it and we accept it. And I think Brother Bud said we've become well-taught listeners, right? And because we're well-taught listeners, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. And so as I was meditating and praying, I heard a word in my spirit. I felt that God was talking about the word discernment, having discernment, true discernment. We pretty much, for the most part, we are driven by knowledge, and therefore, because we are, whatever we think is right. Right? If it sounds good to us, we believe it, it's got to be God. Right? And, you know, what he said was, how many times do we question it? And things like that. And you know, I tell you, you know, one of the verses that came to me was out of Hebrews, but one of the other ones, and we'll look at these verses, you know, I'm just kind of trying to get started here, is that God tells us through the scriptures to try the spirits, doesn't he? And he says to try them in what? See if they be of God. See, so, you know, like Brother Bud said the other day in the video, we know this, but that's not our issue, is it? It really isn't our issue. We know what the Bible says, and we know what to do. And Paul wrote so many times, you know, we have to be careful that we're not tossed to and fro and all these things. And you know, I had been reading things, you know, and, you know, I always keep things, that, you know, this is why I always, me personally, have questions, and I'm always thinking, you know, I can read things or see things or hear things, and, you know, I never know why at the moment, and it could be days later, weeks later, months later, years later, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, bingo. And I really do believe, you know, yesterday I listened to a 20-minute audio of a conversation and stuff, and, you know, the power of persuasion is great. And it's very often in our circles passed off as God. Right? Especially when you're trying to persuade in your direction. And, you know, I listened to this audio and, you know, and for the overwhelming majority of it was all untruths. Mixed with just a little bit of gospel, right? To make you or try to persuade you in a certain direction. And when I heard it, I knew that what I heard on Thursday, right? About the spirit of discernment, having a spirit of discernment and knowing what's from God and what's not from God. Amen? Now, I'm not going to tell you what was or what it was even about. It's irrelevant. But the point is the power of persuasion. But then it reminded me of something I had read, okay? And see, this is just all tying in for me, and I want to share it because there's a lot of things going on out there and in here and everywhere that if we don't have a true spirit of discernment, we're going to think whatever we're doing is God. And I guarantee you, there's no one who doesn't think, well, I know I'm doing what's God, maybe not the other guy, but I know I am. Am I right? Is that not true? And here's the bottom line. God still sets the fivefold ministry to keep things straight. I mean, listen, I can tell you countless stories. I know people, you know, here's the thing. He says, try the what? Spirits, doesn't he? Well, there's three spirits that we know in the book of Revelation that he called them frogs, right? But we know in the book of Jude they were the three spirits of what? Cain, brother killer. So if you always are talking about your brother and trying to take him down or make him look bad in front of somebody else, the bottom line is it's probably not God. Even though you might feel justified. Oh, wait, better yet, you may be justified. The other one was Balaam, money grubbing, always for money, right? It's always about money, 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 right? Money. And the third one was Korah, which is what? Anybody know? By the way, Korah was, they were the singers. And they had what problem? They want rebellion. They wanted to be in charge. Or they wanted to control things, more importantly. Moses, you can't do this all by yourself. But it's the spirit of Korah, isn't it? The spirit of Korah. I guarantee you, you know, I know I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, I know that there were people that left my parents' church, right? They literally left my parents' church, went out and started their own church, and then went and told people when people came to their church that the church they came out of sent them out. And we even had in this church, right, someone go get ordained just so that they could perform their own ceremonies. But the spirit of Korah. Now, people don't start out that way. But what happens is spirits come. And if we don't have discerning spirits, a discernment of the spirit, we will begin to do what we think is right in our own eyes. And the power of persuasion, emotions, can persuade people greatly. And I just want to read this little line because I had watched this stuff a little while ago. There's this guy who, I don't know if he claims to be an atheist or whatever, but he took a room full of atheists and he convinced every one of them, because this is his line, ready? I wrote it down, or I have it. It's really that easy to manipulate someone. With the right messenger, you can get anyone to believe anything. And he took a room full of atheists and convinced them all that they were Christians. Spirits. Spirits. And they can happen right in our own houses. Whether it's our spouses, whether it's our children, whether it's the parents, whether it's siblings. If we are not careful, we will miss what God is really doing. We can fall into, Paul said, I wrote these verses down, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to them, but will worship. will worship. God's not after will worship. Won't do anything for us. Are you listening? Deception is a key ingredient to not being able to discern correctly. And we all know my saying on deception, right? What's that? You never know you are. You never know you are. But there is a way to know, right? I have this verse here. Let me see if I can find it real. Just give me a second. It's about Apollos, okay? I love this verse. It's with the word convinced in it. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. When Aquila and Priscilla came to him, you know, because he was only teaching the baptism of John. He only knew that level, right? Okay, but it says that they went and they talked to him and they helped him and stuff. And for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly or openly. He didn't hide. He wasn't afraid, right? Showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. That was his only message. The Christ. The head. Amen? And so when I got going into this, I started reading a lot of different, I have a ton of stuff. I don't even know if I can get to it all. But I found some very interesting things. So turn with me. Let's start here. I think I want to start right here. In Acts chapter 8. And you know the story primarily of Acts chapter 8. And, you know, the beginning of 8 talks about Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death and all those kind of, you know, killing people and the whole works, right? And Philip, he went down and, you know, he preached Christ unto the people at the city of Samaria, right? And, you know, and he worked and he delivered people and all those kinds of things. But he was preaching Christ, wasn't he? Now listen, while this was going on, how many know as long as there's the true, there's the counterfeit? Hello? The true, there's the counterfeit. Remember Jeroboam? He took 10 tribes with him. That's an interesting thing always. Be careful for the majority. It's true. You know, I thought about this video, or that video, this audio I listened to yesterday, you know. You think about this. We want small families in large churches. We want our classrooms where our kids go to school to be small, but we want our churches to be mega. And what happens is there becomes this emotional teeter-totter going on the whole time, well, yet the true message, which should be declared, isn't even talked about. Because the truth of the matter is, in God, even if people make mistakes, where's the love and the forgiveness if there's repentance, true repentance? Instead, we rather do the other thing. Well, I hope they get theirs. You understand what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong. Don't think you're going to get everything from God if there's no true repentance. That's another message we preach, right? So unbalanced. That's why I love my favorite verse is what? False weight is abomination to the Lord, but so to the flesh, so to the spirit. That's balanced, isn't it? You're not going to get any more balanced than that, are you? Because the whole thing starts out, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man what? Sows, so shall he reap. It's a reaping and sowing process. Because the Bible says all the way back in the book of Genesis, I know it's Old Testament, but listen to me. As long as there is the earth, there's seed time and harvest. Now, he never mentioned anything about whether that was natural or spiritual. So are you in chapter 8? Verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon. Now, does anybody know what the word Simon means? You should. It's real easy. It's the same as Simeon, Old Testament. It means what? Yikes. This is what scares me, Jesus. Simon means hearing. Don't you remember our story? Joseph, exactly. He got thrown in. Out of all the places, all the people that got kept in the prison, it was only one person. It was Simeon. And listen, this is a key to discernment. He that hath a to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. How many know we know the Spirit speaks expressly, right? The Spirit talks. And that's why the Bible says, try the spirits and see if they be of God. Because Paul has declared to us, there's many voices in the land. Has anybody been like me? You ever think God talked to you and you thought you heard for sure and then only to find out sometime later? Right? It's true. But I'll bet you $5 we could have bet our life on it at the time. Are you with me? The power of persuasion can move, right? Can move people very easily if you don't hear. I have a tendency to do this with people. You can be having a normal conversation. Sherry knows this. I do it all the time, right? You can be having a normal conversation. I can say, did you hear what you said? Did you hear that? Because it was way out beyond just the words for that moment. And it may be for nothing other than God is talking and the inner man is working that work in us. Amen? But listen to this. There was a certain man named what? Simon, which before time in the same city. What city? It's the city of Samaria. Oh, what is that city? Samaria. Does anybody remember what Samaria is? I like to call them what? I don't mean to be mean, but half-breeds, right? They were half Jewish and half something else. It didn't really matter, did it? In other words, they were part-time Christians. Oh, God help us. Still has to do with mixture, doesn't it? Used what? Sorcery, which by the way means to practice magic, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. In other words, hey, look at me, I'm a superstar. Is that not true? Now, we would say, no way, he's practicing magic and he's bewitching people, because we would say sorcery is, you know, we see these words and immediately, you know. But remember, if we go to the book of Daniel, it says peaceable flatteries. He wears the saints out. He actually captures the kingdom. All right? The enemy does. Oh, by the way, it says just a vile person, right? We've made him out in the church to be the Antichrist that's going to show up just before Jesus shows up, right? Well, Jesus has showed up. And oh, by the way, the Antichrist already is here. Newsflash. I don't like to say this, but at times I act Antichrist. It's not my path. It's not my pattern. It most definitely is not my goal. It's not the mark that I press for. But it doesn't mean that I don't have issues at times, right? And those aren't excuses. They are not. I like what Brian said the other night. We'll all identify that we have a problem and we need to change. But the reality is, it becomes our excuse that, hey, everybody else has the same issues, so therefore we don't change. Now, I know we read that verse and it doesn't mean much to you, but it's the next verse. Are you ready? To whom they all gave heed, or in other words, they paid attention, right? From least to the greatest, saying what? What did they say? This man is the great power of God. Now, it doesn't matter if you do it with knowledge and speech. Are you hearing me? I remember many years ago, several years ago, it wasn't many, it was a good long time ago, 12 years ago. And I went to a conference, and while I was there, the preacher talked about fire in his hand and all this stuff and began to pray for people. And I remember after the service, I sat in McDonald's in the drive-thru looking out the window because I was just a passenger thinking, my God, I was so persuaded when I heard everything, but I didn't see anything happen. Not one thing. But at the end, they were all jumping and shouting like something happened. And I guarantee you, I was persuaded. That was my hope. That was my expectations. We can say a lot. But what's really going to separate who's who in the zoo is God. Amen. We can't read more. We can't pray more. We can't even sacrifice our lives down to nothing to think that we're going to get more of God, because it doesn't work that way. If God wanted you to be a hermit or a monk, He'd have done that. No, He put you right in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation or nation so you can be a bright, shining light. And He said it so simply, all you have to do is don't complain. Don't dispute and don't argue. You know why most of us argue? James says it like this, we're self-centered and we want our own way. And we always think we're right and the other guy is wrong. Those are discerning spirits we need to watch. We can talk about all the other stuff, but it's those little foxes in our everyday life where He wants us to have discernment also. Amen. I know this is the chitlins this morning. It's the bitter parts. But let me tell you, we need to be aware of these things in our life, because these are the things that can truly set us free, that we know that God is God. Amen. Hearing, but they actually believed He was the great power of God. Why is that? And to Him they had regard, because of a long time He had bewitched them with sorceries. Amen? He convinced them of something other than the truth. Brother Varner used to say this all the time. I believe it's the right time. I believe we have the right word. What we need now is the right spirit. Is that not true? The right spirit. We can get disgruntled and justify our actions, but that doesn't make it the right spirit. Right? Anybody ever justify their actions besides me? We want to be complete, right? We want to produce fruit, don't we? That lasts forever. Well, what God's really trying to do is He's really getting He's the lover of our soul. He's the lover of our mind, will, and emotions. He's trying to get us into perfection or perfect state of who He is. And not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The Spirit. Do you remember? We've gone through this. What happened to Eve? She was what? Beguiled. Right? She was beguiled, wasn't she? She was convinced that the tree was good to the eye. And it was good for food. And because of that, Paul had to write to the church of Corinth, which, by the way, is a lot like us. We may not want to think so, but it is, right? Satan does what? He transforms himself as an angel of light, and his ministers do work righteousness. How can people in churches like ours, and I don't even like to say that, can at one time be so on fire for God and then the next time be so not and leave? I was thinking this morning, 50 years, God, that makes me old. I went to 2 churches in 50 years, 2! And the only reason I left the first one was because God said it was time for me to, you know, try to start a second one. Are you with me? And why is that? Because I only care to do what... You know, there's only one thing that really makes me happy. You know, I mean, I can get happy, 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 right? But there's only one thing that really, truly will make any of us happy. And that's satisfying God. It is true. I mean, you can go to Disney World for a month, and you'll get wore out, and you'll be tired. You can go for a week, and you'll be tired, right? Am I not right? Is that not true? But I'll tell you what, you can be in God's presence every day and never get tired. Are you with me? Now, where do I want to go next? I'm all over the map. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now, do y'all know the story of Absalom? Do y'all know the story of Absalom? If you don't know the story of Absalom, you should read the story of Absalom. But I'll give it to you in a nutshell, if that's possible. 1 Samuel 15. 2nd, sorry. I did say 2nd. Now, Absalom was one of David's sons, right? And Absalom had a sister. But David had more than one wife, didn't he? And so he had another son named Anam or something like that. And he was in love with Absalom's sister. Long story short, I'll do it. You know, he basically raped her, and Absalom counted the days. His goal was to kill him. And he did. He didn't actually pull the trigger, but it was his plan. Okay? First, by the way, Absalom tried to get David and all of his sons to go to a secret meeting. And David said, no way. I wonder why. Discernment. But yet, he was talking to him like, hey, this is a great thing. Read the story. So then, because he didn't get what he wanted, he convinced David to send all of his sons there. So he let him do it. And while they were there, he killed Anam. I think that's how you say it. I don't know how to say it. All right? And so then all the other sons, they fled. And oh, by the way, before word came back to David that Absalom killed all of his children. But that wasn't true either. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what people say about you. Just be careful. So Absalom then fled, and then he was holed up somewhere for quite a long time, a couple, 3 years or whatever. And then finally, Joab, he was afraid that David would bring Absalom back and take his place. So Joab tried to, you know, connive his way into a certain, because he was David's right-hand man, so to speak, right? And so, you know, don't kid yourself. Men love positions. And I'm not talking gender here. And one thing I like that no one can deny, I can't even deny it, even though at times I've tried probably. I did not put myself here, nor did I ask for this place. I embrace it. I thank God for it. It's what keeps me going, His Word. When you have four different people at four different times in four different locations of the country, even two countries, right? And then you even have people in restaurants, you can't deny it, even though you try. God, am I doing it right? God, I've messed everything up. Nothing's right. Nobody likes me. Everything's falling apart. What's going on? I didn't just say that this week. I've said that for 14 years. But what keeps me on the course is discerning what God has said from the beginning. Even if He never speaks another word. Even if He never says another word. All I've heard Him say was, don't eat from that tree. I don't care how many voices come along. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared his chariots and his horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. Look where he went, right? And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. And Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land. These are secret thoughts, aren't they? How many know that God's a discerner of the heart, the mind, the thoughts, isn't He? He knows what's in there, doesn't He? And oh, by the way, He then begins to allow opportunity, just not that he doesn't know what you'll do, but to show you what you will do. Amen? There is no man to be. Absalom, moreover, I were made judge in the land, that every man which has any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came near to him and did obstinance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. Now here's my verse. And on this manner did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of men. Did you see that? He only had one thing in mind. It wasn't to preach Christ. It was to masquerade himself as an angel of light. Be careful what people get you to do. Now, I know you're going to only look at me as Dale, but I'm here to declare to you, I heard what God is saying to us. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Discern the spirits. Try them. There is a way. Seemeth right, but the end? Because the enemy only wants one thing. If he knows that God's the lover of your soul, he wants your heart also. Doesn't he? And he will do anything he can, God help me, to get it. Self-will sacrifice won't work, will it? It doesn't work. The only thing that works is when the Spirit of God purges us through the washing of the water of the Word. And you have to be careful because you know as well as I do, most people can manipulate the scriptures to make them say just about whatever they want. Amen. Did you see what Absalom did here? He put himself in a position to do only one thing, and that was to steal the hearts of the people. Because the truth of the matter is, God wants us to what? Serve Him with all of our heart. The very thing that God wants, the enemy always does. Amen? Are you with me? Now turn with me to, where do I want to go? Matthew 24. You ready? Verse 4. 24:4. Are you there? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, we know that the writers wrote that, I think it was James, we know that he wrote that no man is deceived except for that he's what? Carried away by his own desires or lusts, right? So we really can't be deceived unless we really have a desire to be deceived. I believe that, don't you? Now, you might wake up and realize you're in a trap, you know, and want to get out of it, but you understand my point. We get led astray only because we, you know, get led astray, deceived. So Jesus is telling us here, let no man deceive you, right? I mean, when Jesus started telling them, hey, I'm going to go to the cross, and Peter said, nah, not so, right? Isn't that what he said? He was deceived, wasn't he? And the reason he was deceived is because he didn't know the plan. But the thing that he chose was, his desire was to believe what he already believed and not the new preceding word that was coming out of the mouth of God. Right after he had a revelation, thou art the Christ. Let no man deceive you, right? Verse 5, for many shall come in my name saying, I am a Christian. I know, it's a play on words. And shall what? Jesus said, those of your own household are your worst enemies, or your biggest foes, right? Because they'll get you to do things. That you shouldn't be doing. Is that not true? The real reason is, watch this, it's for the sake of compromise and argument. But not does not make it Christ. I have compromised with my children for the sake of argument, and I guarantee you I knew it wasn't Christ. And usually we find out it doesn't always work out the way we would like it to. Is that not true? We wonder why we have problems sometimes, don't we? Because we don't like battling. We don't like confrontation. We don't like any of those things. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. If you like to battle, you like to fight all the time, I think you're a little unbalanced in that direction too, right? But the reality is this, if we're really Christ-centered, we'll let God arise and all the enemies be scattered. Am I right? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am a Christian. Now, I have a question. Now, I always say this because Sherry, you know, this is a Sherry thing. I used to think I knew what a Christian was, right? Until I met you. Now, that's not patting me on the back or anything like that, but it's what's portrayed out there. Is that not true? And we think because they have the same vernacular and they can quote, we all can quote the Bible. I remember I had a conversation, you heard this story before, when I worked at Cadillac, that one of my friends, we had always a group, you know, we'd get around and talk about the Lord, you know, when we could, opportunities, and I had a friend say to the other friend, say, well, what do you mean you don't believe him? It says it right there in the Bible. And he quoted the verse, or actually read the verse, and the other guy said, well, I don't care what it says, I know what I believe. Now, we would never say that, but I wonder how many times we do that. I might sound like a broken record today, but I'm really trying to get somewhere, and that's about discernment. We need to sharpen our discernment in this day, in this hour. Because there is a generation that they're pure in their own eyes. And their eyelids are not washed. And there's only one thing that can wash us, Rebecca. It's the Word. A living Word. What was that sign we saw in the church? Or was that on a church you said yesterday? You'll find whatever you're looking for, or Do you remember what it was? I mean, I believe this is true. I can't remember exactly what the quote was, but we read the Bible only to prove what we already believe. And I know other, you know, you can read the Bible also to prove your point or to manipulate others or to whatever. You know, you can twist and, you know, I mean, Peter wrote it. We wrestle with the Scriptures. We try to make them say what we want them to say. And the reality is, I don't care what anyone says. Here's the bottom line. Here is the bottom line. God is after a Christ, many-membered man. Nothing else. He doesn't change his plan. He will not. He does not. That's why I read that about Apollos. What was he preaching? Jesus was the Christ. He is the head, and there is a body. Nothing else. And I don't, you know, I've heard this all my life, and I believe it, you know, and, you know, we quit saying it because, you know, it offends so many people, but not everybody that calls himself a Christian is in the body of Christ. Truth of the matter is, just because you're born again doesn't even mean you're in the body of Christ, because you have to be born of the water and the Spirit even to enter in. Because the Bible says in Galatians, we are baptized into Christ. And oh, by the way, that just gets me to move across the threshold. You know, I've been to Joe Louis Arena quite a few times, and you know, you give them your ticket and you walk through the door, and I could stop right there. I won't even get out of the corridor, but I'm in the arena. Now, I may never get to see the game if I don't move. My boss has this saying, well, that's the price of admission. Listen, born of the water and the Spirit is the price of admission. Right? But that does not make you. You know, we don't know the difference in the church world today between a technon and a weos. And if you don't know what I'm saying, you need to study. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Same word, son. Sons of God. Technon, children. That's what we are. Weos, placed, fully mature. Big difference, isn't there? But we run around shooting off our mouths like we know everything because we're technons. You know, the truth of the matter is, I guarantee you this, there would be no internet or anything of all the YouTubes and everything else, truly, if we knew our heads could get chopped off. I'd be telling Sherry, don't even put our messages up on the board. And if you do, don't say our name. You get my point, right? Oh, that's not true. Really? Tell me why the 120 were up in the room. They're hiding out. Oh, no, Jesus told them to go there. Yeah, he told them to go to Jerusalem. He didn't tell them necessarily to hide out. We talk tough when there's no pressure. Do you like this message, Daniel? Are you sure? You know, I went to school for quite a few years, 13 years, and then I went to college for a couple of years, and, you know, I sat and listened to lectures and teachings, and, you know, and a lot of it, you know, I'm glad I know what 2 + 2 is. But I guarantee you, every one of my kids are way smarter than I am. Way smarter. They might not think, well, Dale does. He thinks he's smarter than me, but it was a joke, son. I'm just teasing you, buddy. Are you with me? You get my point? God's just teaching us to hear his voice, to discern what's going on in our lives and those around us. Because the enemy only has one desire, and that's to steal our hearts. And he'll do it with peaceable flatteries. You and I can't be persuaded by magic and sorcery, right? Right? I wouldn't think we could. Let me ask again. I know we like the Magic Kingdom, but you get my point, right? Now, drop all the way down to verse 23. Are you ready? 22. Are you ready? Is everybody there? Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Did you hear that? For who? The what? Nah, you can't preach that. You can't preach that today. Am I right? We're all-inclusive now. That's why we like to go to all-inclusive resorts. All-inclusive cruises. Which is kind of ironic when you think about it. You ever, here's the price of a cruise and you go, right? Well, the one thing they don't tell you is how much you have to pay for a tip every day, which they automatically charge to your credit card, right? Oh, then if you want special kind of dining, it will cost you extra money. You know, and I'm not belittling or anything, but it's not so all-inclusive after all, is it? Now, you don't have to do those things. Well, I think you do on the tips, but that's if you want clean sheets, probably. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, hey, there's a great Christian event over here. Or over there. I used to think this all my life, seriously, based on this verse. Just because the power of God's working over there. I'm not interested in going over there. I'm interested, if it's real, I want it right here. Because God's not a respecter of persons. And he says, I've come to every man that they might be like me. Are you listening to me? And he says, don't go. And the reason, he said, believe it not, because he knows you. He knows, where are they? Where is he? He's living within a people. But here's the verse. For there shall arise what? False Christs, or Christians, and false prophets. Now, I listened to this video yesterday, and the question was asked, do you think I'm a prophet? Not a video, it was an audio. And the person responded, well, anybody can say anything and make anything up, as long as they believe it. I have heard this saying more than anybody, you know, in the church circles of my life. Well, the Lord told me. The Lord told me. The Lord told me. Now, I also believe this. The Lord can tell us things or show us things. I don't know if He tells so much. I do believe we're spiritual beings and we can see into the realms of the Spirit. And, you know, but that doesn't always mean we interpret it right. And I'll tell you this, 2020, hindsight is 2020, isn't it? It's easy to say after the fact. I believe I'm a prophet. And I don't tell anybody these things, but I'm going to say it. How can you say that? Listen, God wants a body. I'm prophesying. And the body has to match the head. How can you say that? I know Jesus Christ is the Lord. And no matter what I think or you think, this word is true. Christ in and among you all is the hope of glory. And I don't see everything under our feet, but I see Jesus. He is the pattern. He is the sign. He is the proof that God will have what He has declared. And God keeps all of His promises. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they'll do what? Show great signs and wonders. Hey, what was the guy's name? Chris, the magician guy. Chris Angel. Isn't it interesting? He has a name, Angel. I mean, I remember when he first came on the scene. You know, he'd go out in the street and he'd levitate his body off the ground. And I mean, people were into it. Because people like signs and wonders, don't they? They like the supernatural, but it doesn't mean they love God. It's true. God's after a people. He said, David was a man after my own heart. God's after a people that are after His heart. Isn't He? He doesn't want anything else. He wants my heart. Well, everything else is an Absalom spirit trying to steal it. And that's why He gives us the spirit of discernment so that you and I could know what is trying to steal our hearts. We may not like this, but I tell you, it's the truth. Do you realize in the New Testament he wrote this? He says, you know, if a man doesn't have a wife, don't get one. But if he gets one, you know what's going to happen? She's going to take his heart. I'm just telling you. Why would she? Because she'll want him to do this and she'll want him to do that. This isn't a complaint. So just it's scripture. Because the truth of the matter is God's after something. Because listen, in the resurrection, there's not marriage or given in marriage anyway. Why? Because God has the whole heart then. Well, what's my struggle? Well, the struggle is in the transition. But it doesn't have to be that much of a struggle as long as we put God first. And we don't let any Absaloms steal our heart. A husband and a wife can steal each other's heart and take it from God. It's true. Just like a parent and children. It's true. That's why Jesus said, those of your own household are your worst enemies. We'll compromise. And the reason is, watch this, it's Ezekiel 44. It's my verse in Hebrews chapter 5. It says, we do not know how to discern between what's good and bad. And the reason we don't, should I go to my verse? I mean, it says, you know, here it says that they'll show all these great signs and wonders, even that it could deceive the who? The very elect. Man, I can't be deceived. That alone tells me I could be deceived. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be mean. Listen, I preached a whole bunch of messages for the last couple of years. God, he's doing a work in you, but he's just balancing this thing out a little bit, isn't it? Watch this. In God's economy, anything goes is not his motto. Right? But in the modern day church, probably for the last 2,000 years, anything goes, right? Actually, if we go all the way back, I mean, think about it. Zadok was the one, the priesthood in Ezekiel 44, right? And Zadok became the Sadducees. I said that, it reminded me of Sister Barb, always made her laugh. Lord bless her. In so much that if it were possible, it shall deceive, or if it's possible, it will deceive the very elect. It'll do what? Deceive. Because it's only trying to steal our hearts. No matter how good it looks. Amen? Turn with me to Hebrews. I hope everybody's still with me. While you're going there, I want to read this out of Colossians, all right? Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, the rudiments, the elements, right? The order. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to these ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. And that's not a license to do whatever you want. I added that. With all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men. Here's my verse. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Listen to me. There's a lot of folks who do a lot of things just to make themselves look holy. If you don't believe so, what was the problem Jesus had with the Pharisees? He said, you're whited sepulchers full of dead man's bones. I seriously heard this one time. Seriously. You know, I'm a firm believer in that when I go to the restaurant or at my house, I don't care, wherever I am before I eat, even if I'm by myself, you know, I just pray silently before I eat. You know, you can tell me it's a tradition, it's a habit, whatever. I don't really care, but it's me and God, right? And I one time heard this preacher say, you know, I used to listen to him on the radio, you know, before I went to bed for like 5 minutes, I would set my alarm or whatever, you know. And one time I heard him say, he said, I never pray in a restaurant before I eat because that's nothing more than a pharisaical attitude, an open show trying to show everybody that you're a Christian. I said, what? Are you kidding me? I never listened to him again. But my point is this. Most Christians won't pray because they don't want anybody to know they are a Christian. You can have false humility. You can. Are you cold, Beck? Want me to turn the heat on? No. Jump up, run around. Hebrews, are you there? 5, did I not tell you? Sorry about that. Hebrews 5. Now, the writer of Hebrews was talking about the high priest, verse 10, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have what? Many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are what? Good God, we've come full circle. Simeon, right, means what? Hearing. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. We need to have discernment, don't we? We need to be able to have ears to hear, don't we? For the time ye ought to be teachers. Now that doesn't mean you're looking for a position to be a teacher. What it really means is this: if mama or daddy taught you how to take the trash out, but then at some point you decide you no longer want to do it anymore, you are no longer a teacher, you still need to be taught. You say, well, wait a minute, I already learned that. No. There's where our problem is. We may have the education, we know how to take the trash out, but a true person who's a teacher never, ever will need to be told to do it again. They'll just do it without ever being told. They won't look for a call. Everybody's looking for a call. They'll see the cause. Huge difference. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is... Do we dare go into this, what most of Christianity preaches? Censor-secretive messages, milk. How do you, I don't know about this. I watch the Travel Channel and Bizarre Foods and stuff, but to get strong meat sometimes, they cook it with the fur and the guts and the, and then they just lay that thing out and they start eating it, don't they? But the key is they have to roast it with fire. And if you remember the Old Testament, they couldn't even do it. They couldn't eat it raw. They couldn't eat it with the blood in it, could they? And the reason they couldn't do that is why? Does anybody know why? Remember what I told you before? Because we're not animals. A carnivore does not care. They'll eat it raw. They'll kill it and they'll eat it raw. They don't take it down to the fire pit. And you can't boil it. Or boil it in its own mama's milk. Let's make it really emotional. The power of persuasion. But strong meat belongs to them that are what? A full age, and those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Watch this. I'm going to read this out of the easy-to-read version, all right? But solid food is for people who have grown up. Do you know why this church isn't full? They won't eat meat. It's true. I don't mean to be mean here, but you know, I wonder why we have such a move of to be vegetarians. I wonder what kind of spirit is motivating. Is it bad to eat vegetables? Absolutely not. I love vegetables. But I'm trying to make a point. Do you ever go to church and eat something you didn't like? I have. I remember one time Doc Aiken preached a message. I don't know. It was, you know, 25 years ago. And man, I did not like it. But I didn't kick against him. I went home and I said, God, if this is a true word, you start showing me. I need to know. And it didn't take too long, maybe a month, and boy, oh boy, I had to change my mind. I have a question for you. Do I ever say things that you don't like? Don't agree with you? What do you do with it? We can shrug it off and keep right on going our own way. I think that was the whole point when my dad was saying about, do you ever question things? I love you. Do you love me? I thank God every day that He loves us. And He's teaching us how to love Him in the same way that He just doesn't toss us out to the garbage heap. Amen? Solid food is for people who have grown up. Now watch this. From their experience, they have learned to see the difference between good and evil. Now I've been around a long time. And I always love it when people are trying to tell me what the Bible says when they haven't even been reading it as long as me. And I'm not patting myself on the back or any of those kind of things. You get my point. Experience counts for something. Watch. I have four children. Do you ever come to me and ask me questions? Hey, Dad, what about this or what about that? And the reason you do is because of experience and wisdom, right? And I mean, listen, my dad's 76 years old, and I still do that occasionally with him. And here's one of the other reasons why. Watch this. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. Because then you can have true discernment working the way God wants it to work. Building a body. Turn with me to Isaiah. And I'm all done. I don't know if I made my point today. Isaiah 11. Here's my whole point. If I miss out on what I want. We cannot be deceived. But every thought. Watch this. I'll rephrase it. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry thought we have in our minds or hear in our ears or see with our eyes. Because it's only for one reason. It's to steal our hearts. It's to steal our hearts back. Do you know you can be falsely accused of something and the spirit that's working there is trying to get you to change your mind to get off your course? But if you have experience in knowing to be able to discern between what is good and evil, it can't affect you. No matter how good it may sound. Isaiah Chapter 11, did you go there? I guess I better go there then. Now you know the scriptures. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, we need that established again in the house. Not just this house, I mean in the house of God. There's no fear anymore. That's why it's no problem for people to come to church with attitudes. No fear. But shall make of a quick understanding for the fear of the Lord, and he shall what? Everybody read this with me. He shall what? Not judge. Did you hear that? He shall not judge. See, here's what the church, here, and mostly non-believers that like the church folk stuff, right? Well, doesn't the Bible say, don't judge? It does say that. But what he's really saying is, don't judge from a human perspective. He's saying, try the spirits. Use discernment. Exercise your discernment. If you exercise, right? Now, I know some of you in here like to exercise, and some of you don't. Some do, and some don't. But you know, I mean, we know this. Even Paul wrote, exercise profits little. Or in other words, it will do some good to the body, right? Is that not true? We know that. And the more you exercise, the more good it could do. Now, what Paul was saying is it won't deliver you or save you. I mean, like the man running on the beach, right? You can be exercising and an airplane hits you out of the clear blue. So, okay, I sidetracked. Rabbit trip. Judge not, right? Or not judge by what? He shall not judge after the, neither after the hearing of his ears. He won't go just by what he sees and hears from a natural perspective. He'll discern by what's really going on in the spirit. Amen? That's what God's trying to get you and I. We know this. We understand this. But you know something? Can I say this? And I'm not trying to be mean to you. But I asked you guys several questions today, and you didn't know the answers. You just didn't. It has nothing to do with memory. It has to do with what we're familiar with. And I know every one of you. That's the familiar part of all about us. And I'm going to tell you what. We all enjoy life. And God's blessed us all. Financially, materialistically. I mean, we're not the wealthiest people in the world. But I guarantee you, I'd live in any of our houses. Right? For the most part, drive all of our cars. You get my point, right? God's taking care of us. But I guarantee you we can get to know God a little better than we do. And I don't mean by will worship or false humility. I mean having a relationship like Enoch where he walked with God without a Bible. No Bible. Let alone a computer with how many translations on it. You can stand. God's after a man, a corporate man, the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the only thing he's after, isn't it? He's not after anything else. I've been around a long time. And the one thing that I've never forgotten, everything is designed to take us away from the purpose of God. No matter what. And I'm telling you, magic and sorcery won't do it. You'll get what I'm saying here. But I'm going to tell you what. Deception of a counterfeit will. Watch this. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. I'm not saying that any of us are in that category. What I am saying is we need to be careful, aware that Absalom is trying to steal the heart of God's people. And that we must discern. It's those peaceable subtleties. It's those little foxes. And like Brian said, watch this. Did you hear the other day? Did you hear what he said? The guy he works with and he runs came in this race. Every time he raced, he got the exact same time. And Brian asked him the question. Now listen, this is for all of us. What makes you think if you never change your routine, you will ever change your times, your results? You don't read your Bible enough, you need to read it more. You don't study enough. I like what he said. Look, we got a whole bookshelf back there. Brother Varner did all the work for us. I don't know about you, but I like the Strong's Concordance. I'm glad that I don't have to. Listen, can you imagine at one time, Strong's, he put the numbers and he got the glory. But someone else did all that other work. And I don't know about you, but all I'm glad is I just have to click, click. Oh, there it is. God's made it easy for us. We need to be able to discern the time and the hour we live in. We can discern the face of the sky. Every day I go to work, you know, I look in the sky. I look at them beautiful. Oh, red sky in the morning. Sailors take warning. But he's looking for people who don't judge with the eye or the ear. He hears what the Spirit is saying. He hears what the Spirit is saying. Yes, oh, hallelujah. This is what I've been waiting for. Come on up here. Come on. Go. Is this on, Corey? See, I need personally, me personally, I need you guys to do this kind of stuff. Because you know why? Familiarity. You guys don't, you know, from my point of view, maybe I'm wrong. You don't hear me all the time. Just stand in front of it. What do you need?
This thing was in the way. I can't read it if it's all over there.
You'll hold it.
Okay. So I was just witnessing that this is, like, what Dad is saying today is exactly the word for the hour. Because this is what I was studying last night. I had just, you know, randomly opened my Bible, and I was reading in Daniel, the last chapter, and it says that that the wise understand. Okay, so they understand. So the minute I read that, I was like, well, this has to do with hearing. Like, the wise, they hear. And going off of, well, we know who's wise. I believe it's in Psalms or Proverbs, I can't remember, but we know that gray hair is a symbol of wisdom, right? Well, if you're a full age, you have gray hair, you have wisdom, you're here, Amy, that goes all along with that. But where I was really reading last night was the ultimate, I always have thought this story is the ultimate case of getting duped in the entire Bible, like deceived. Jacob, if you want, you can turn to Genesis 29. I'm just going to read a little bit here.
Go ahead. Just read it to us.
So this is when Jacob knows, he knows something. So he knows.
In Judges or Genesis?
In Genesis.
You said Judges, didn't she?
He knows.
I'm hearing things.
He knows what the ultimate is. He knows that he's going to marry Rachel for his wife. He knows that. And it says, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. So he was willing to work 7 years, and he trusted Laban because he was family.
Yep.
Really, he trusted and knew that, well, if I do this for 7 years, I'm going to get exactly what I know I'm supposed to have. And so he has this, and what I thought was very interesting, he served for 7 years, but they seemed but just a few days for him. It didn't seem that long because he loved Rachel, and it wasn't a big deal. But it said, and Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in to her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for a handmaiden. So you have Jacob, who says he loves Rachel, but if he really did, he wouldn't have been deceived. He wouldn't have been duped. He would have known immediately that Leah wasn't Rachel. He would have known, but it was evening. Couldn't see. Okay? But if he had that true intimacy, that true relationship.
That's the difference right there.
Then he would have had that spirit of discernment to say, like, hold up, this is not who I was promised. This was not. But no, there's a woman in front of him, so it must be exactly what it should be, and it's not. So having that spirit of discernment and knowing, despite what it looks like or the good idea it might be in front of you, and it might even seem like this is what's fulfilling what the word you already know.
That's okay? It.
You need to have that spirit of discernment to know that this is whatever it is that you are doing or whatever it is that you're walking in, is that it is the will of the Lord. And I mean, and we know as the story goes on, his ultimate grace is fulfilled, that Rachel does become become his bride. But he had to pay for it after a while, 7 more years of work. And at that point, he knew, I'm not getting duped this time. So,
you know, it's funny. Rebecca actually just answered a question that I've heard many, 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 many times asked. And I can't say I knew the answer. How in the world could Jacob not know it wasn't Rachel? I heard that question for most of my life. And the reason is because he was deceived. He had an expectation of a certain thing. And he accepted what just came along as being the real. I never heard the answer to it before till just now. He was deceived. It looked like a woman. It had to be Rachel. Because why would Laban deceive me? And what she's really talking about here is the church. The first woman, what we see out there right now, is Leah, is not the beloved, the one that will produce a Benjamin. It'll produce everything else, but it won't produce the son. You answered a question that I've heard a million times. How in the world, how could he not know it wasn't Rachel? Especially if he loved her. That's amazing. And so many times, because of our own desires and what we want, what we think we want from God, we get deceived into believing not the truth. Help us, Jesus. That was good, Beck. And Rebecca did not know. You did not know what I was going to preach today. Did not. Well, God knows, doesn't he? Amen. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace towards us and your desire to bring us to the fullness, God. God, I pray that our eyes are open, our ears, and our hearts will obey. For God, you do desire truth in the inward part, stability, strength of spirit, that we may be able, O God, to discern what is good and what is evil, profane, holy, right, wrong. No longer tossed to and fro like children, technons. God, that we would grow up fully mature sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. I wonder how many people thought Jesus was the Antichrist when he was tipping over the tables. When he was telling the Pharisees, you snake, you viper, you whited sepulcher. Discernment. Discernment. True discernment is not judged by the natural. Discernment comes by the Spirit. Amen? A lot of Absaloms out there. It's a spirit. And it's only designed to do one thing. It's to steal our hearts. And I don't care if it's spiritual in its religious context or if it's not spiritual in its natural, like materialistic context. It's subtle. Amen? This message I don't believe is heavy. Do you? I don't believe it's heavy. I believe it's like this. It's like, you know, it's like a screwdriver just adjusting, you know, making us a fine running machine. Amen? Well, hallelujah.